This is the auspicious day, the Avrabha Titi Mahotsav of Srila Veda Vyas. It's a very interesting day. All throughout India, this of course is July 18th, 2008. We're sitting in the holy abode of Sri Radhakund and Braj Mandal by the causeless mercy of Srila Vyasadeva and all the benevolent spiritual masters and our line of enlightened acharyas and preceptors and Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and our particular branch of the Chaitanya tree, the Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya, which is a very unique contribution of Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, which we inherited from his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who we think of as the seventh Goswami, Sri Rupsi Sanatan Bhattaragna, Sri Jiva Gopala Dasaragna, H.O.H.I. Gosai Kuri Chananamandan, Yahoiti Adigdanash Avishtapuran. So this Tattva Siddhanta of Radha Krishna worship, especially in the mood of the Mandriyas Kinkari Bhav, is coming down through Rupa Mandri and Rati Mandri, and coming down through Kamala Mandri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Nayanamani Mandri, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, and to our Bhaktivinoda Swami in his Mandri form. And then we're receiving these divine instructions and calls us mercy to illuminate our hearts and to inspire our minds to surrender and go forward on the path of sadhana bhakti. So these are this type of idea, emphasizing naam bhajan and emphasizing that Bhakti Sananda Saraswati emphasized naam bhajan, pure chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And he said that our Siddha Pranali and our Chaitanya Saraswat school, our Chaitanya Saraswat branch of Lord Chaitanya tree, Chaitanya Saraswat Parampara, our specific Siddha Pranali is realized by developing four principles within one's existence, which are encapsulated in Shikshastakam verse number 3. Which is actually a stage of ruchi in bhajan, nam ruchi, katha ruchi, saru, sangha ruchi, dam ruchi, trinadapi, sunichena, tulare vasanishana, amanina, manidena, kirtani, sadari. Be prideless and respectful of all according to their position. Be more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect. These qualities developed to their maximum potential will attract the attention of the merciful Lord. Humility attracts the Lord. And then when his mercy comes through the holy name, then we're able to experience the Shudanam. And Shudanam is Radha Krishna Yuga. Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha. And Bhagavati Radha and Bhagavan Krishna. Bhagavati and Bhagavan, they are fully contained in the Radha Krishna Yuga mantra and Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So when one chants Shudanam, then he receives all the energy of Srimati Radharani, the Vidya Shakti, the Paravidya Shakti, the Ladini Shakti, all the Shaktis are there. The Sarup Shakti, Radharani is carrying the Sarup Shakti of Krishna. She is a Sarup Shakti. They can't separate heat and light from fire. They can't separate Krishna's Shakti from Shaktiman. They can't separate Radha from Krishna. They're inseparable. So when Shudanam is there, Nam Prabhu is there, then Radharani is there. And then if Radharani is there, then all Ladini Shakti is there, Krishna is there. So Shudanam, what can Shudanam not do? Is there anything Shudanam can't do? Shudanam contains Vidya Shakti, Paravidya Shakti, Ladini Shakti. So knowledge of who we are, what we are, knowledge of who is Krishna, what is our sarup, what is our eternal relationship, it's all coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all knowledge. And one contacts Shudanam, then he contacts directly Krishna, Sakshat Shiksha, Sakshat Prakash, Vidya Prakash, all knowledge is revealed. So it's no big secret. But what is our eternal identity? What is our eternal relationship? Our sthayi bhava, our swarup siddhi, siddhadeya. It's all known, very much known to Krishna. Krishna knows past, present, and future of every jiva. And maybe somewhat unknown to us, depending on our state of realization. But Krishna is His holy name. As Krishna knows everything, the holy name knows everything. Krishna knows everything about us, and the holy name knows everything about us. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the Chaitanya Saraswati school, he emphasized faith, nam, shraddha, nam, shraddha, the nam, nishtha, faith and nam. But people are impatient and impetuous in Kali Yuga. They want everything. They want the highest thing for the cheapest price. They want the most costly article. They want to get a discount. Get a Rolls Royce on discount. Get a cheap Rolls Royce. So they'll sell you a Honda with an insignia of Rolls Royce on the hood. They'll sell you a Honda with an insignia or a symbol of Mercedes-Benz on the hood, or Mercedes-Benz hubcaps. Mercedes-Benz hubcaps on your Maruti. Then you think, oh yes, I have a Mercedes-Benz. That was an 800 Maruti, not a 500 SEL Mercedes. So the cheap thing is easily available in the market. The imitation thing is often available. Rolex, Rolex watch, Rolex. You get a Rolex watch and a Rolex watch. R-O-L-I-C-K-S, Rolex. Not long ago, around 400 years ago, a new sampradaya was started, a new branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree, after some divine revelation of Radharani, and some special tilak was introduced. And the former Krishnadas, Dukhi Krishnadas, became the Shamananda. And he started a sampradaya, a branch of Lord Chaitanya's sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya. The Gaudiya Sampradaya, there's the Nityananda's branch, there's Gadadhar's branch, there's also Advaita Acharya's branch. And there's branches from different sakas also, and different Mahajans. And then there's one of the newer branches is Shamananda Sampradaya, which is a branch, and that's honored and accepted and recognized now, at least. And then starting about 80 years ago, there was a new branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree, because trees are always growing. If a tree is alive, then it must be growing. Alive means growing. Growing means another branch, another leaf, another flower, another fruit. Otherwise, if there's no leaves, no new branches, I mean, the tree is stagnated and dead, it's not growing. So Lord Chaitanya, his family, his sampradaya, it's called a tree. In Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says a Chaitanya tree, Chaitanya Briksha. The Prabhupada said that it's Gaudiya Math, IGM, as they say, right? Internet. Is this Iskan Gaudiya Math, there are branches of Chaitanya's tree. So, the specific branch, the name of that branch is the Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya. As we have Shamananda Sampradaya, as part of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tree. It's a branch Sampradaya. So we're in the glorious Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya. Saraswat means Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Thakur. And Chaitanya means Gauranga. Gaudiya means Chaitanya Sampradaya. So we also teach the principle that without guru there is no perfection. We also teach the principle that one must be anugatya of the parishads of the Lord, must be connected to the divine parampara of realized mandris and sakis and vrijvasi devotees. And we also teach the principle of dependence on the holy name. So the only thing that's different between Chaitanya Saraswati Sampradaya and some of the other contemporary expressions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is their way of reaching at the same point. Like one person goes to Delhi by helicopter, another person goes by walking, another person goes by bus or train or car, or even bullock cart or horse. But they all end up at Delhi. And they, according to their position and their facility, then they use the appropriate mode of transportation. If they're Kuropatis, they use a helicopter. If they're poor, really poor, they walk. Dhanis and Daridras. But they're going to the same destination, so we have so many things in common, obviously, with the other Sampradayas. Our Ishta is Chaitanya, Radha, and Krishna. Our process is Shravanam, Kirtan, and Smaranam. So there's more similarities than there are differences. And some people say, oh, the only way to go to Delhi is by helicopter. Some people say that. The only way to go to Delhi is by helicopter. And we say, yes, and maybe the only way for you, because you are such a person that you could never go by bullet cart. Just like if you ask someone, oh, I'm going on the train to Mathura, would you like to go? And the person, some people say, never in 1,000 years. They can pay me 1,000,000 rupees, I'll never set foot on a train. There are people like that. It's too claustrophobic, it's too slow, it's too whatever, beneath my social economic status. So that's their viewpoint. So, but they're entitled to that. So Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya is giving some very solid and realistic understanding of one's, it will be given. Krishna, whatever we have in our hand has been given by God. And God always gives what's required when it's needed. All the Vaishnavas, the Advaitins, the Mayavadis, the Vaishnavas, the Savashesh bodies and the Nirvashesh bodies, they all observe this day. They all honor their gurus. It's a big day in Haridwar. It's a big day in Benares. It's a big day in Srirangam. It's a big day everywhere in India, where all the shishyas are going, at least this day, once a year, all the shishyas make it a point to visit their Gurudev on this day, Guru Purnima. It's a very wonderful celebration all over India. Dev, he's the Lord amongst us. He brings the heaviness of the Lord. Deva means God. Kamadeva, Krishna. Guru means heavy. So he's heavy with mercy, heavy with knowledge, heavy with chastisement, heavy with compassion, doya nidhi, kripa nidhi, vidya nidhi, prem nidhi. This is a guru, probably an ocean of prem, ocean of knowledge, doya nidhi, ocean of compassion. These are the characteristics of guru. So they're very, very big functions on this day. It's a joyous day, a day that the shishya gets connected, meets guru, he wants to honor the guru, his savior, his messiah, his deliverer from birth and death, his bringer of joy, his bringer of peace. The guru is bearing so many gifts for the disciple. So, in, of course, in our Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and other missions also, they often honor the actual Janam Tithi of the Guru, the actual day that the spiritual master or Guru appeared in the world, whatever that Tithi was, Amavasya, Magh Amavasya, or Phalgun, Shukla, Ashtami, or whatever. So on that day every year, whenever that day falls, then there'll be a celebration, a Vyasa Puja celebration, worshipping the Guru as a representative of Vyasa, carrying the teachings of Vyasa and the mercy of Vyasa. So our Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, we never so much emphasize this particular day. But the day after Janmashtami, that's a big day. That's Nandotsav. Krishna was born at midnight on Ashtami, Janmashtami. And Vajra Mas, Vajra Krishna Ashtami. Krishna's Avirbhav is Jayanti. But the celebration is the next day. The next day is called Nomi. Nanda Utsav. Nandotsav. Nanda Maharaj has a Utsav. Or you can say it's a festival full of bliss. Nanda Utsav. Ananda Utsav. Nanda Utsav. So that day is the day Srila Prabhupada appeared. Auspicious day, festival day. No fasting. Everyone's eating. Everyone fasted all day and night, all day and the night before Janmashtami. Everybody's. So service is judged by its necessity. When you're hungry and you take prasad, it's really good. It has a good effect. You feel very satisfied, very, very satisfied. Same prasad, same belly, same tongue, same mind, same eyes. But when you've been starving and fasting and up all night, then you take that, sit down for that Mahaprasad feast. Ah, Mahaprasad Govinde. Jai Govinda, Jai Gopal, Keshava Madhavati Nandao. Jai Gurudev, Jai Shri Krishna. We want to see Krishna ki. So Prabhupada emphasized that to honor the spiritual master on his Janatiti, just as everyone worships on Guru Purnima. And of course, this actual festival of worshipping the Guru on Guru Purnima, it was also done during the time of Lord Chaitanya, as described in Chaitanya Bhagavad. And that Vaitacharya arranged a very elaborate festival to worship the Guru on Guru Purnima on this holy day 530 years ago. Nityananda was delegated to do the puja. Of course, Nityananda is Guru Tattva. But he was asked to offer the puja to some. They had some Bhagavatam there, some Bhagavatam, some Mahabharata, and some painting of Vyasadeva. They were going to do some puja to Vyasadeva in Srivasa's house on this day. So, and Lord Chaitanya was also attending the function there, Vyasa Purnima. This very same day, 520 years ago or so, say 500 years ago, they were all about, obviously about 20 years old, so about 500 years ago. And this puja was going on, this Vyasa Puja Samartik. So when Nityananda was trying to do the puja, then he had one garland he was supposed to place on Vyasadeva, a painting of Vyasadeva, to honor Vyasadeva on his avirbhav. But then he turned and he put the garland on Lord Chaitanya. He said, you are Vyasadeva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Yeah.
He said, you are Vyasadeva. You are a guru, you are Adi Guru, you are everything. So he diverted all the worship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat embarrassed. But he simply reciprocated with the mood and praying of Nityananda and the other assembled Vaishnavas. And so he accepted the worship on behalf of Srila Vyasadeva. It was merely a Shakti Vaishnavatar of Swami Bhagavan, Sri Rasaraja Mahabhav, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's in fact what the Guru does. The Guru accepts the worship on behalf of Vyasadeva on his own birthday. He offers the worship there. So we've collected some interesting articles from this recently published Harmonist magazine. These are from 1929-1930. There's some interesting discussions, quite a lot. We only have time to discuss a few, but this is some discussions about Guru. And this one talks about Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda and the worship of Srila Vyasadeva. This is from February 1930. So that's 78 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is the editorial. So the editor of the paper was Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. This journal was written in English. This is English. And it's called All Glory to the Divine Master and the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The worship of Sri Vyasadeva was performed first in the Gaudiya Sampradaya directly by Sri Nityananda Prabhu himself at Sridhar Mayapur. On this occasion, Nityananda placed the offering intended for Srila Vyasadeva on Vyasa Purnima at the feet of Sri Chaitanya, and the offering was accepted by the Supreme Lord. The worship of Srila Vyasadeva is performed by honoring and worshipping one's spiritual preceptor. In the form of Sri Vyasadeva, The Supreme Lord Krishna made possible the manifestation of the secret teachings of the Veda for the understanding of all fallen souls. Srila Vyasadeva revealed the secrets of the Vedas by compiling the Brahma Sutra, Mahabharata, and the greatest of all, Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva is the authority of all scriptural and interpretation of the eternal religion to its highest form of amorous devotion to the feet of Krishna. In the opening shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasa tells us that the truth first manifested itself, well, let's say it says here, that the truth, the absolute truth, first manifested himself in the purified heart of Brahma, the first created jiva. This absolute truth manifested by the mercy of Sri Narayan in the form of Chatushloki, the four seed verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These four shlokas have expanded into the spiritual scriptures. The real meaning of the Shastras was made manifest to this world by the Divine Person Himself, by the appearance of Sri Krishna, and by the Holy Bhagavatam, which is identical with Sri Krishna Himself. The Bhagavatam was manifested to the pure essence of Sri Vyasadeva by the mercy of his guru, Sri Narada, who received the teaching from Brahma. Sri Vyasadeva is the divine teacher of the revealed scriptures, whose meaning would otherwise be unintelligible to the people of today. Srila Vyasadeva is the greatest of the Acharyas because he's a manifestation of the plenary power of the Supreme Lord, Shakti Avesh Avatar. He appeared in the Kali Yuga to make the Veda available and accessible in the age of Kali. Because if he didn't come, then the only Veda that would be existing would be the Shrutis. The Rig Veda and Sama Veda, which are impossible to understand, even by born Brahmins fixed in Sanskrit. Very, very difficult to understand. The Acharya Guru is the manifestation of Supreme Lord Himself, Sakshat Hari. The worship of Sri Vyasadeva is really the worship of Sri Gaurasundara in the Acharya. Very interesting. The worship of Vyasadeva is really the worship of Lord Chaitanya or Sri Gaurasundara in the Acharya or the Guru. Sri Nityananda therefore manifested the real meaning of the worship of Srila Vyasadeva by worshipping the Supreme Lord Himself. Very interesting philosophical point. That's kind of told also by Pradham Das Thakur, that all the devotees had gathered 500 years ago in Shiva Sangha in Sridhar Mayapur on this holy day of Guru Purnima to worship Srila Vyasadeva. And even God is going to engage in a worship. Mahavishnu and Sadashiva were heading up the worship. Vaitacharya was organizing the worship. And Balaram Nityananda was going to be the pujari. And the recipient of this worship was the jiva. But the jiva acting as a representative of God. Who is the jiva? The jiva is Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is a jiva who is empowered by the Lord, Shaktivesh Avatar. So they were all collected there, all the devotees, Srivas Thakur and all the other Antaranga Bhaktas, and they were all collected. And the puja was being headed up by the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasti Gaur Bhaktivinoda. They were all gathered there together. The Lord and his devotees were all gathered together to worship Shaktivesh Avatar Veda Vyas. But then, in the middle of his puja, before he could really start his puja, Vyasadeva Srila Srinathananda Prabhu, it's told in Chaitanya Bhagavad, he diverted the worship away from Vyasadeva and directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you are Vyasadeva. You are the source of Vyasadeva's knowledge. You are the source of our everything. So by that, Vrindavanas Thakur is saying that Nityananda is giving a teaching to all of us. And that's what's being repeated here in this article. The worship of Vyasadeva is really the worship of Gaurasundara. Because they were assembled to worship Vyasadeva at Mayapur, and then Nityananda said, no, we worship Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, Nityananda, he manifested the real meaning of the worship of Vyasadeva. So the real meaning of Vyasa Purnima, the real meaning of Vyasa Puja Day, or the birthday of Vyasa, is to worship Krishna. Very interesting point. If the spiritual preceptor is not regarded as identical with the Supreme Lord, the worship of the Acharya is not properly performed. And by such worship, the real meaning of the Veda cannot be obtained. Sri Gaurasundara is the guru of Sri Nityananda. This is the basis of the worship of Sri Nityananda, whose power is manifested as Srila Vyasadeva. Very interesting, because in Shiva Sangam 500 years ago, the pujari for Vyasadeva's puja was Lord Nityananda. So he had the garland he was going to place on the painting of Vyasadeva, and he turned and he offered it to Lord Chaitanya and started doing the puja there. Because Nityananda is saying that my guru is Lord Chaitanya. I'm the servant, Dasasmi. I'm absorbed in Sevananda, in the bliss of serving my Lord Gauranga. So the guru represents Gaurasundara, Sakshat Gaur. The guru is Sakshat Gauranga. He is Sakshat Hari. Sakshat Ritwe Nasamasa Shastra Uttastata Bhavya Yati Vasadhi Kintu Prabhuya Priyavitasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. So Nityananda, he is the ultimate source of all manifestations of Krishna. That's very interesting. So Nityananda is the source of all the jivas. But Nityananda is Balaram. And Balaram expands to Sankarshan. And so all the jivas, they come from Sankarshan, Mahavishnu. Sankarshan expands his Purushavatars. All the jivas are in the body of Mahavishnu. He glances and Shiva carries a glance to the Pradhan, right? His creation. So, where did Vyasadeva come from? Vyasadeva is a jiva. The jiva comes from Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu comes from Sankarshan. Sankarshan comes from Balaram. Balaram is Nityananda. So the power that Avesh, that Shakti Avesh, he's a Shakti Avesh avatar, a jiva who has received Shakti. Avesh means to enter, to be invested with, like we say, Griha Pravesh, right? To enter the Griha. Mm-hmm. Shakti Avesh, Avesh means to enter. Shakti has entered him. Like Parasaram, a Shakti Avesh avatar, he's jiva. When the Shakti is withdrawn, he was just a yogi. He's a Brahmin, acting as a Kshatriya. So he's a yogi, he went to the Himalayas to do tapasya. The Ram said, step over, Jack. Move over, I'm taking over now. Your role in Treta Yuga is over, now it's my turn. You did what you had to do. You got rid of all the bogus Kshatriyas, now I'm presenting the real Asli Kshatriya. All the bogus Kshatriyas, you cleaned out the place, now I'm establishing the real Kshatriya rule. Ram Rajya. Ram Raja means the rule of Ram, God-centered kingdom. And everybody in the kingdom is centered on worshiping God. It's called Ram Raja. So Parasram did his work. 21 times he kicked out all the bogus Kshatriyas. They all went and became Buddhists and Mayavadis. They all went to Germany and became Mayavadis and atheists. Or they went to the East and became Buddhists. So now that India, Bharatvarsha, was clean, no misconceptions, no false leadership, no Lalus and all these kind of things. Yahoo and Lalu. So as they could have established the proper monarchy centered on God. So Nityananda is the ultimate source of all manifestations of Krishna. He is the source of the spiritual function of the Acharya. Vidya Shakti, Ladini Shakti. The Guru connects one with Krishna, Yogamaya. Yogamaya is Samvit Shakti and Vadini Shakti, knowledge and bliss, knowledge and love, relationship and love. The Guru does that function. Nityananda is the source of the spiritual function of the Acharya. Acharya means Guru. The Guru or Acharya is a manifestation of Krishna himself. But Sri Krishna and Sri Baladev, although identical with Gaurasundar and Sri Nityananda, they differ in their activities. Sri Gaurasundar and Sri Nityananda play the role of devotees and not of masters, although they really are the masters. The masters come, the masters Gaur and Itai, they come to this world and act as servants. Why? To teach their own servants by their own activity how their servants are to serve them as masters. So, for example, the master has a servant who has just been hired to wash the dishes. We have direct experience of this. And the servant washes the dishes. And then the master inspects the pots and finds it not very good position. He says, "What is it? You don't know cleaning." "Well, Maharaj, you know, in our house we have servants. I don't know about how to clean a pot. I never did it. I try my best. Look at this. Oh, this is rice inside the handle and underneath the rubber thing. Oh, you're supposed to take out the rubber thing in the pressure cooker. I didn't know. But actually, I never done it. All my life, I never washed any dishes. I've cooked, but I never washed. Right?" So then the master has to teach and show the servant, this is how you wash a pressure cooker. You take, use a special toothbrush that's kept in the kitchen. You put that inside that rubber and clean inside. Get everything out of there. And then you take all the ghee and all the stuff, vegetables, whatever. And you take that, then you clean inside the top of the pressure cooker. And you clean all around, wash it with water. And when you wash pots, he tells the servant, he said, "Don't wash with your hands, you wash with your eyes. You don't just feel around, oh, it looks clean. You have to look and see, is it really clean? You have to inspect. And it's God's pots, it's Krishna's pots, Guru's pots." So in this way, the master, who has such vast things on his mind, he may come down to teach the pot washer how to correctly wash the pots. So the master is Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Lord of Lords. They appear as Gaurasundar and Nityananda, that teach the conditioned souls how to serve themselves, how to serve Krishna and Balaram. How do you do it? How do you serve Krishna and Balaram? They show. By humility, by submission, by enthusiasm, by diligence, by determination, by thoroughness, and all the various leelas, these qualities are exhibited, especially when Lord Chaitanya cleaned the gundicha. How thorough, how exacting, how precise. He took out first he swept the blades of grass and straw from the temple, then the rocks and pebbles, and then the finer sand, and then finally he took his uttariya and wet it and started taking the talcum powder, fine parts of dirt. The parts of dirt that were in the temple, like talcum powder, very fine, like stick to your skin piece of dirt. He cleansed those with his own uttariya dipped in water. Very minute attention to details of service. The most minute attention, not careless service, lackadaisical service, absent-minded service. That's the kind of service we do. Right? C-A-L, Kal, Kal Seva. Careless, absent-minded, and lackadaisical. Kal Seva Incorporated. Krishnadas, Krishnadasi. Call us anytime. You want some service done. Right? But Lord Chaitanya was quite the opposite. So he's showing by his personal example, acharya, achar, behavior example. He's showing, this is how you do it, kids. So compassionate. Although Gaurasundar and Nityananda are really the masters, but the masters come as servants to teach their servants by their own activity how their servants are to engage in the service of Bhagavan. In the case of Krishna and Sri Baladev, the jiva may approach them only by their grace, which is not fully prominent. In Sri Gaurasundara and Sri Nityananda, the quality of divine grace predominates over power and even over beauty. Right? So this grace is the key note, kripa. Gaur kripa, nitai kripa. The quality of divine grace predominates over power. Mercy over justice. Love over power. And love overpowers everything. Prem Purushottam Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So if there's love, there's mercy. If there's no love, there can't be mercy. So he's the embodiment of love. The supreme personality of love. Prem Purushottam. Supreme personality of prem. Supreme personality of love, compassion, kindness. Of course, sweetness and beauty is there without mentioning. But this is the predominant, the primary guna prabhav, the most influential quality, guna prabhav of Gauranga is his kripa, his love, dispensation of love. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Chusayinama Gaur 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 Gauranga. This is a very nice description here about Vyasadeva and Nityananda diverting the worship to Chaitanya. That the Gurudeva is actually representing Chaitanya and ultimately Krishna, and he's representing Vyasadeva. Now there's a nice discussion here how to approach the Absolute Truth. Another entry in this holy collection of discourses. As a harmonist, this is ancient teachings, but they're always fresh and valuable. This is a March 1928 harmonist. And there's some discussion here about the distinctiveness, the speciality of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's teachings. This is an article written by one of the most prominent Grihastha disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at least in terms of writing and contributing at that time. Professor Nishikant Sanyal was a very erudite and sincere follower of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, the distinctiveness of Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings and practices is all pervasive and may be illustrated by a few concrete examples. This is what our Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said about truth. He said, do not try to discover the nature of truth by the exercise of your imagination, called mental speculation. Do not endeavor to attain the truth through experience of this world. Oh, I've seen everything. I've seen this world north and south. I've traveled widely. I have so many experiences of people and places and situations. I really know the truth. Don't endeavor to attain the truth through experience of this mundane material world. Do not manufacture truth in order to satisfy your whimsical inclinations. Nor hastily accept the truth as anything for the reason that it satisfies your inclination. Do not regard the truth as anything that has been built up by or has the support of a majority of the people like yourself. Oh, everyone says this is the truth. My mother, my father, my society. This must be the truth. Nor as untruth anything that is rejected by the overwhelming majority. The majority says that we went to the moon. 1969, everybody, every newspaper, every scientist, every Russian scientist, this, that, television. But the Bhagavatam says, no, impossible. Mundane human beings cannot hop in an iron ship and go to the moon. Impossible. So our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he said, impossible. Maybe they landed on the Arizona desert, because it has a similar landscape as the moon. It looks like craters and dust and dirt and all these things. Very funny thing about the moon landing, and the scientists say the moon is covered by a layer of dust and all these things. And when they show their own photographs of the spaceship landing slowly, and all the jettison, all the jets go shh, because it has to come down slowly. There's no dust flying out of the bottom. It's like they're landing on a solid surface, no dust. And even if there was grass and all kinds of things on when those engines are blowing the air so much that some dust would fly off the ground. Just like here we have grass on the ground, but when a heavy tufan comes, so much dust goes flying in the air. The heavy wind is blowing, and the wind coming out of jet engines, whatever they are, those engines on the spacecraft when they're descending is incredible. As a matter of fact, you're not allowed to. If you go to an airport, if you go near a jet engine, you'll get sucked into the engine. You may not know that. You know when they're revving up the engine?
Yes.
The engine's on the jet, the fan jets. If you stand in front of it, you go inside and get chopped up in the pakoras. There's so much suction, so much power. That's just some cheap little jet engine. The kind of engines, these turbines or whatever they use for these spaceships. And that was a very funny thing. There are NASA pictures of the moon landing. What is this? There's not a particle of dust. It's clear, the whole thing. So it may wonder whether it was staged on the Coral Draw or Adobe PageMaker or something. Cork Express.
Russia knew about it. And they immediately, as the Americans landed, the next thing was the Russians have also landed. But there was no video recording of that.
That's
and America didn't debate that, oh, you landed, and how come you also landed on the moon? There was no such debate.
Yeah, no argument.
No argument.
No confrontation.
No.
Anyway, so the point is that the whole world may say one thing, that the whole world may say that actually you're young, you should enjoy life. Religion's for when you're old, and when you're old and decrepit and your memory doesn't work and your brain's fagged out. You have no central power. And then you can try to pick up a Bible if you even have no strength to open it. then read it and try to do something spiritual. But now you're young. Your senses are strong. Your body is powerful. You should enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Don't you see? Look around. Look around you. Everyone in the world is enjoying. What are you, stupid nutcase? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, shave your head, renounce the world. What are you trying to be? Rishabhadeva or Bharat Maharaj? Kalad Maharaj or Dhruva, what is your deal here? That's ancient history. There's one guy in the whole history of India named Dhruva. How many billions and billions of sense enjoyers have there been? And India's been producing hedonists at a million a minute. So the truth, these are the words of Bhakti Santa Saraswati, do not regard as truth anything that has been built up by or advertised by or has the support of the majority of people like yourself. According to the scriptures, there is to be found hardly one in a crore of human beings or millions of humans who really worships and understands the truth. That's in Gita. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaya yatatam visiddhanam kaschim mamati tatpadam. Krishna says in Gita in the 7th chapter, verse 3, and of thousands among men who even have any interest in the absolute truth, hardly one actually understands it. That which is proclaimed by the united voices of all the people of this world as truth may turn out to be false. Therefore, do not confront the truth in a challenging manner. How do you know? How do you know that Krishna is God? What is the scriptures? How do you know? The truth is not brought into existence by such arrogance. One has to approach the truth in a spirit of absolute submission. Taviti Pranipatina, Paripashtana Savior, right? Submission, Pranipatina. That's the first part of the verse, submission.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting when you think of this verse from chapter 4 of Gita, verse 34. It starts off with Taviti Pranipatina. First word is Vidhi. Vidhi means knowledge, Veda, to know. Mm-hmm. What is real, what is truth, what is substantial. Tadvidhi, then, so first we establish the sadhya, the goal. The verse establishes the sadhya. What is the goal? What is the destiny? What are we looking for? And that is vidhi. Tadvidhi, that truth. Now, the next word that's closest to that word is pranipatena. Tadvidhi pranipatena. The truth stands next to humility. Humility stands next to the truth. Vidhi means truth. Vidhi means Veda. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means truth. And that's Tadvidhi. And what's the next word? Pranipatena. So pranipatena means humility. It means dandavats pranam, submission. So what stands next to truth? What's standing next to truth is humility. The greater the humility, the greater the truth. The greater the pride, the greater the falsity. The more pride, the more falsity. So access to knowledge depends on humility. Tavadi pranipatena. So this verse is about guru. And we are approaching, we want to know the truth. What is the truth? Who am I? What am I? What is this world? Who is God? What is God? Tavadi pranipatena. We want to know the truth. So the verse is saying, yes, truth is the first defined point. But knowing the truth means seeing the truth. That means tattva darshan. That comes at the end. Gyaninas tattva darshan. You know and you see. Gyan and vigyan. Gyan is gyaninas. And darshan is vigyan. So the goal is tattva darshan. To see the embodiment of truth. The personality of truth. The supreme person, the absolute truth is a person. Narayan, Vishnu, Ram, Krishna. Tattva darshan. And when you know the tattva, when you realize the gyan, and realize the gyan, it becomes vigyan. And the fruit of vigyan, vigyan fall, is darshan, sakshat darshan of Krishna. This is the, and Guru gives that. This is what Guru gives. He gives gyan, vigyan, and darshan. Sporti, visporti, sakshat darshan. So this is graduation. You enter, enroll in the college, and then you have some knowledge, some principles, some theories, some axioms. Some experimentation, some observation, then submission, then deep study, then imbibing, then finally realization, then experience, experiential knowledge. You just study all the theory, and then you go out and become a doctor and say, oh, now it's happening, I'm operating on this person. This is a real aorta, this is a real ventricle, this is real blood. This is a real, there's a living entity here, and this heart is moving. It's moving in my hands. I'm holding in my hands. It's going, womp, womp. Oh, it's alive. Yes, this man is very much alive. And his life is in your hands. So you better know what you're doing and put into practice. This is experiential knowledge. Now is not the time to forget what to do and how to do it. So the truth. One has to approach the truth in a spirit of absolute submission. It is necessary to listen to the truth. Truth is self-revealing, and it is only when it is pleased, or the truth is pleased, to reveal itself that the real nature of the truth can be known to us, and not otherwise. If the truth is infinite, and we are finite, Our senses are finite, limited. Our body is finite and limited within time and space and by structure. And our mind is also limited. And our intelligence is limited. But that object or that thing which we're trying to understand or attain is infinite. It is unlimited. So how can the limited understand the unlimited? How can the finite understand the infinite? Impossible. There's no chance. Not by microscope, not by telescope. Not by macroscope, not by microscope, not by electron microscope. You've got some approximation. But you don't get the thing, you get an abhas, a semblance of the truth. Satya abhas, a semblance of truth, not the real thing. But if the infinite wants to say, look, here I am, see? You touch me, you can touch me, you can touch the infinite. You can see the infinite. You can feel the infinite. You can talk to the infinite. That's if he chooses. Prakash. Dharma, the verse in Gita that says, Pratyaksha dharmam bhagavam dharmyam. Pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam. That the Dharma, that the fruit of Dharma is pratyaksha, it's revealed. Self-revelatory. It's revealed. It reveals itself. It or the truth or Krishna is pleased. Haritoshanam. Samsadhira Haritoshanam. Samsadhira Haritoshanam. If this is the perfect, this is the perfection of all samsadhira, the complete perfection, and the sum total of all perfections is that activity, those words, those speeches, those actions, those thoughts, those desires that give pleasure to Hari. If Hari is pleased or satisfied with you and your action, you and your program, you and your behavior, then this is siddhi. This is complete perfection. Then he reveals himself. Pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam. The conduct of this great teacher of religion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his behavior corresponds to his teachings in all its minutest details. So this is Veda Vyas, his day of honoring his appearance day, or he represents Guru, so Guru is called Acharya. Acharya means teacher. He teaches by his words and by his actions, achar, behavior. So this writer, this disciple, is glorifying Bhaktisiddhanta, saying he has ideal conduct and ideal teachings. In his personal conduct, Sri Guru never deviates by the breadth of a hair from the truth of the Srimad Bhagavatam to please any individual or body of individuals. Like Srila Prabhupada, he went to England in 1969, and that was right around when the moon landing, or somewhere, I don't know, somewhere around 65, 69. So when he got there, they interviewed him at the airport in the London Observer newspaper. Swamiji, we've heard from your disciples, and that also has been published in some Western New York newspapers, that you're of the contention that they never went to the moon. I was, yes, that's right. It is a hoax. And then laughed. I said, you really believe that? It is not a question of belief. This is the truth. This is the absolute truth. And Bhagavatam says, the scriptures say that they never went to the moon. It is impossible. They never went to the moon, they won't go to the moon, and they can never go to the moon. Then the reporter says, well, Swamiji, it seems you're quite convinced. The Prabhupada says, yes, naturally, I should be convinced, because I'm simply repeating the words of God. Oh, it's too good, too solid, irrefutable. So the person says, all right, Swamiji, I can see that I can't get anywhere with this question. Let me ask you another question about your devotees like this. They especially like to entertain Prabhupada in this moon landing question. Because every single person in the world from 5 years old to 100 years old accepted and believed that they went to the moon. Except one. Srila Prabhupada. He never said, well, maybe you're right, or well, it's possible. The Guru always tries to please only God in the manner that is laid down in the Bhagavatam. It is in this sense that the Guru's conduct is superhuman. He also never deviates the slightest from the absolute truth. The Guru holds and believes that every single word of the Bhagavatam outweighs the opinion of everyone in the world. It's very interesting. It was written in 1928, and we see Srila Prabhupada as a living example of this, these qualities. The Guru does not admit that all thinkers or religionists are approaching the truth by diverse ways. Of course, this is speaking of Vivekananda's presentation, Yatamat Tatapat. Yatamat Tatapat. Yatama means many minds, many paths. Literally, Yatamat, Mati, intelligence, minds. Yatamat, Tatupat, Pat means path. It's all many ways, many minds, many ways, it all goes to the same. So the Guru, he doesn't say, no, you're all approaching, no, we're all going to the same goal in our own ways. He says, forget it, you're all going to hell. Because Krishna doesn't say that. What does Krishna say? Yanti bhutani bhutejya, yanti mam yati no pimam. Krishna says in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he said, those who worship ghosts and spirits, they go to the ghosts and spirits. Yanti pitri pitri pataha. Those who worship the pitris and ancestors, they go to the ancestors. Yanti maj yajinopimam. Those who worship me, they come to me. That means there's different paths and different processes of worship and different goals. This is what Krishna says in Gita. So the Guru, he follows Gita, Gita Upanishad and Bhagavad Puran. So he takes Vivekananda's philosophy and says, this is a bunch of BS. Yatamat tatapat. Not that all paths lead to the same goal. They don't. Our path leads to Krishna's lotus feet. Your path leads to Yamaraj. On the contrary, the Guru believes that all so-called truths that pass current in the world point only to a limited ideal formulated by the imagination and are really untruths, and as such, positive obstacles in the way of realizing the absolute truth. This viewpoint of the Acharya would certainly be opposed to the judgment of the modern world. So this is just some small point about truth. Because the Guru, he represents the absolute truth. He's an emissary of truth, not relative truth, produced from the relative world by relative thinkers. He's an agent of the topmost truth coming down, Avaroha Panta. The role and relationship of Sri Guru, Lord Nityananda, and Lord Balaram. We've already hinted at some of this the relationship of Balaram earlier in our discussion. But there's some more speeches here in this particular harmonist, March 1930. Again, the role of and the relationship of Sri Guru, or the Acharya, Lord Nityananda and Lord Balaram. The spiritual preceptor, that means a guru, right, is the best loved servant of the Supreme Lord. Interesting phrase. Very beautiful sentence. It's not told who wrote this article. It's no name. Maybe Bhakti Siddhanta or one of the other editors. The best loved servant. Ekale Ishvara, Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhya Britya. Ekale Ishvara, there's one Ishvara, one Supreme Controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. There's one Ek Ishvara. Ekam Sharanam. Like Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Prityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Ek Sharanam. We should have one shelter, one Ishvara, one shelter. Eka Sharanam. Then go to that shelter, Braja. If you go to that shelter, you have to go to Krishna. Sarva Dharmam Prityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Braja means to go, to travel, to move. If you go to that shelter, this shelter of Samasrita ye padapallava plavam. You take Samasrita, complete shelter, at the lotus feet of Pundarikaksha, yen ye garvindakshaya muktamaninas. You take shelter at the lotus-eyed Krishna, you have to go where the shelter is. So braj means to go to. Eka sharanam braja. Braj means to go to. So going to Krishna, taking shelter of only Krishna, means going where he lives. And he lives in Brajadam. Braja Dham, Braja Bhumi, Sri Dham Vrindavan. So Braja means to move or to go to, but ultimately to go to Brajeshwara and Brajeshwari. Brajeshwari Radha and Brajeshwara Krishna. So this is the ultimate surrender, and this is the ultimate destiny of the surrendered. Those that are completely surrendered, they go to this place, Braja Dham, to eternally serve Brajeshwara and Brajeshwari, or Radha Vrindavaneshwara. Mm-hmm. Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So the Lord loves all of His servants. He is the Supreme Master, Ekalishvara, and Arasabhya Britya. Arasab Britya means everyone else is a servant, knowingly or unknowingly. I know I'm a servant of God and I'm serving Him knowingly. I don't know I'm a servant of God and I'm serving Him indirectly by serving His Maya Shakti and thinking I'm enjoying, but actually I'm a slave. I'm a slave to my senses, I'm serving my senses. I'm a slave to my body, I'm serving my body. I'm a slave to this material world, I'm serving this material world. But due to Ankara, I think Kartahamiti Manyate, that I'm the doer. That everything is being done by me, but I'm actually being done too. Everything is done to me. I'm not doing anything. So everyone's a servant, but the Guru is the most beloved servant. This is very interesting. He said, the best loved servant. That means that God loves His children. Aham bija prada pita. I am the seed giving father, all are my children. I am God as the Father. So I love all my children. Of all my children, whom do I love best? Guru. Sri Guru. The one who is giving Sri. Because I love Radharani the best. Who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? Who does Krishna love the most? He loves Radharani the most. And her name is Sri. Srimati. Sri Radhika Sri. Sometimes it's called Sri Kund. Krishna Kund and Sri Kund. Radha Kund is called Sri Kund. And Shama Kund is called Krishna Kund. So the Guru is the best loved servant. Servants are all loved. But the best loved is a Guru. Sri Guru. Sri Guru is authorized by the Supreme Lord to appear in this world for the purpose of carrying out the divine will of effecting or bringing about the deliverance of those souls who, being the differentiated fractional parts of the divine spiritual potency, have willfully severed their connection with the Supreme Lord in order to pursue the apparently fascinating pleasures of atheistical existence. And that certainly is the hallmark of the Harmonist magazine. Highfalutin English. This is because the Guru was this great pundit and scholar, the founder of the magazine, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. Or maybe his father, maybe Bhaktivinoda founded it, but he continued it. Sri Sajantoshini, or the Harmonist. He was quite erudite and eloquent in his language, written and spoken. So his disciples wanted to be like father, like son. And they were all, of course, they were also eloquent people. They were all professors and Brahmins. Most of the followers, intimate followers of Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, were born Brahmins. Bhan Maharaj and Sridhar Maharaj and all of them were all Brahmins from birth. Pure Vaishnava Brahmins. Mostly Gaudiyas from birth. And they all had PhDs in Sanskrit. Very, very scholarly. If they weren't just surrendered sannyasi Brahmins, then they were professors in some college, a master's and PhD in psychology, etc., like Sanyal and Sambhidananda and so many of them. Grihasthas, but like sannyasis and Grihastha Ashram, but brilliant personalities. So therefore, the language is rather eloquent. That's the hallmark of Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. Language which you cannot understand. Prabhupada himself faced that dilemma when our Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada, when he sat in lectures of his Guru Maharaj, he said, in his own statement, Prabhupada said, I didn't understand what he was saying, but I knew it was good for me.
Mm. Vibration.
The vibration, the Shabda. Because this is not just Shabda, but the Shabda Brahman, transcendental spiritual vibration, which is saturated with the pollen particles coming from the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, or coming from the garland, the lotus garland of Radharani that's been carried on Krishna's chest after embracing Radharani. So the words of the spiritual master are actually sprinkled with the pollen dust on the lotus feet of Krishna and Radha. If the Guru is in that mood of Vrindavan, Radha Krishna Bhav. So this is very nice language. That the jivas, we say the jivas part and parcel of Krishna. conditioned souls come into this world being attracted by Maya. And it's illusory pursuit to try to enjoy himself. And here we say, the differentiated fractional parts of the divine spiritual potency, the tatastha shakti, tatastha means part of the surup shakti. The shakti, Krishna shakti includes everything. Tatastha shakti is Krishna shakti. There's antaranga shakti, there's bahiranga shakti, there's tatastha shakti. But they're all only divisions of one shakti. It's all surup shakti. It's all Krishna's shakti. Whose shakti is it if it's not Krishna's? Tatastha shakti belongs to Krishna. It's all Sarup, but it's positioned in different places, so it takes on different characteristics. It's all Krishna's energy. It's one, the energy is one. According to its position and posture in relationship to the center, then it assumes different names. Tatastha, Antaranga, Bahiranga. Bahiranga becomes Antaranga, and Tatastha becomes Sarup in action, although still it's essential characteristic, it's not changed, but it's all relays. The tatastha becomes less and sort of becomes more in the tatastha jiva when he comes liberated. He's still tatastha eternally, but he's also now he's tatastha kam swarup because he's engaged in the internal energy of the Lord in his swarup city. Severed from their connection with the Supreme Lord, why have we come to this world? To pursue the apparently fascinating pleasures of atheistic existence. Atheistical means without God. The reclamation of these rebellious souls is a special function of the spiritual preceptor. This is a Bombay reclamation movement. The reclamation area means they reclaim some marshland. They filled in with a bunch of dirt from somewhere and built a skyscraper on it. This function of the guru undoubtedly belongs to the divinity alone. No one can reclaim the perverted soul except the supreme savior, who is none other than Godhead himself. This is also the ground for the contention or argument that the head must not bend in salutation to anyone except the only receiver of all homage. The issue, therefore, is whether the function of the Savior can be delegated by Godhead. If Godhead is the only Savior, can he appoint someone else to be the Savior on his behalf? This is the question. Stated in this form, the solution of the question is self-evident. Nothing should stand in the way of the free operation of the will of Godhead. Icha Shakti. Right? Your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. God should be able to delegate any power to anyone he likes. But even Godhead himself cannot commit suicide by delegating his own existence to another. In other words, no one can become God. In other words, God must remain the master even when he appears to function as a servant. He can similarly simultaneously retain and delegate any or all of his powers. There is only one thing which God cannot do. He cannot really be anything but the one and only master. That he cannot give up to someone else. The Supreme Lord can delegate his powers by retaining them fully for himself. This is the kind of the authority that is delegated to the spiritual preceptor. The spiritual preceptor wields the power of the Savior of fallen souls. The authority in itself, no doubt, is a right reserved of the Supreme Lord. But this divine prerogative can be, and therefore is, also eternally delegated without being discarded. So what's being said here is that the full power to deliver a conditioned soul is with God at all times, and he can do it himself. But then he gives that same, he keeps the full power to deliver and reclaim the conditioned souls, and he also gives it to a jiva. That's called Shakti Avesh. He doesn't give the Shakti and then lose it. Mm-hmm. He gives the Shakti and not possess it. Oh, here's my sword. Now go and fight. Oh, I don't have any sword. you know, you have my sword and I'm without swordless. No. Here's my gun, go shoot it. No, here's one and I have another one. It's like this. In the realm of the Absolute, there is only but one master, one teacher, one beloved Lord, and all the rest being servants, pupils, and mistresses. There, the Savior also must have his specific manifestation. So as the Savior, the Messiah, the Liberator, the Deliverer from birth and death, appears in this world as Guru. So he has to also appear there. Very interesting. So who is the Savior there? There must be a specific manifestation of the Savior in the spiritual world, or the Guru, the Deliverer. Who is that? Sri Baladev, the other self, or the counterpart, we would say in modern English, the other self or the counterpart of Sri Krishna in the realm of the Absolute, is embodying the principle of authoritative saving service of the spiritual preceptor. Sri Baladev, in his transcendent and immanent forms, is both teacher and the taught. All servants being expanded self of Sri Baladev. Very interesting. He's a supreme, you know, he's being served by his own servitors. He all possesses, told in Jiva Dharma, that all these servitors, all the different servants of the Lord, are expansions of Baladev, right, in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. The male servants. Females are expansions of the Shakti, rather. Mm. So all the jivas in this world are expansions of the Baladev. So he's the taught, and it's very interesting. This is perfectly compatible with the necessary condition for the existence of free individual souls who are eternally engaged, consciously or unconsciously, in the constant service of Krishna in and through Sri Baladev. So we are knowingly or unknowingly serving Krishna through Baladev. In this material world, we expand from Baladev as Mahavishnu, and we can turn our face towards Krishna and serve Krishna, and then Mahavishnu, Balaram, be happy. We can turn our face towards the Mayic energy and serve Maya, then Baladev won't be so happy, but we'll be engaged unconsciously in the service of Krishna's Maya Shakti, external energy. Baladev is organizing all of it. The souls that are averse to the service of Krishna are as much an integral part of Sri Baladev as those pure souls that function in the Absolute Realm, Vaikuntha. So we are part and parcel of Baladev here in this material world. Mayavamsha, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. And the liberated souls of Vaikuntha are also part and parcel of Baladev. This world also is fully enveloped and permeated by the coupled existence of Master and Servant Godhead, by His immanent and transcendent forms. This all-pervasive and all-permeating serving Lord is the sole condition as cause, medium, and effect for all manifestation of the Supreme Master in this phenomenal world. The difference between the Absolute Realm by Kuntha and the phenomenal material world consists in this, that in the spiritual world, Sri Baladev, with all his paraphernalia, is engaged in the direct, continual service of the Supreme Lord, consciously realizing that Krishna is his sole and only master. While in this material world, the mayic energy, the deluding energy of Krishna, acts as a screen to prevent the realization of the real nature of spiritual service. The manifestation of Sri Baladev in this world, therefore, means, from our point of view, the withdrawal of the screening function of the deluding energy. So the Guru comes, Om Angana, Tevarandasya Gananjala Shalakaya, Chakshurme Tanyana Tasmai. Guru lifts the curtain. When the stage curtain is drawn, all you see is a black curtain. You don't see the queens all colorfully dressed, and the king and the horses, and all the different scenes and settings and people and color and beauty, nothing. It's all black curtain. You remove the curtain, oh, it's a huge stage, and there's horses on the stage and chariots and kings, and they're dressed so wonderfully, and they're talking, having so much dialogue. There's a dining room scene here, and this scene, the fight scene, the dining room scene, the bedroom scene, and So the guru comes and lifts the curtain of Maya. Ham prakasha sarvasya lokayam kamabandaram. But the worship of Sri Baladev is different from the worship of Sri Krishna. Sri Baladev is a servant godhead wearing the immanent aspect of paraphernalia and transcendental aspect of viceroy in Vaikuntha. And just like in, this is, of course, this is 1928 England, and England was ruled by the Queen Victoria of England, and she had her appointed representative to run the country of India, and he was called the Viceroy. Roy, it's interesting. Roy comes from a Sanskrit or Bengali word Rai. Rai means king or queen. So Viceroy means vice king, vice queen, appointed, secondary. So the word Roy, R-O-Y, Ramananda Roy. So Viceroy means the second downline queen or second queen, appointed queen. So the Viceroy was running India on behalf of the queen. So Balaram is the Viceroy. The king is Krishna. It's interesting because people could relate to that. They could understand. The Viceroy has practically all the power of the queen, but he's not the queen, or she's not the queen. Sri Baladeva is acting in the role of Viceroy in Vaikuntha, and invisibly in this phenomenal material world. Balaram is therefore entitled to receive the same worship that is offered to Sri Krishna by differentiated souls. But as Balaram performs a double function, he is not worshipped in exactly the same way as Sri Krishna. As a servant of Krishna, Baladeva is worshipped as the medium or support. This is the worship of Sri Guru. In other words, sometimes they say, Guru is God, God is Guru. There's many missions that emphasize everything on Guru, and they catapult and upgrade the Guru to God. And the Christians have done that also with Jesus. In the first 1800 years after Jesus' demise, or more, Jesus was the Son of God, the representative of God, the teacher of God. Now he's God. Christians have turned him into God. Hindus, they've been going at it longer. The Christians only had guru-shishya relationship for 2,000 years. But Hindus have had guru-shishya relationship for 2 million years. So they've honed it down to a fine art. The Christians picked it up from the Hindus. And guru is God. There's a fine distinction here. As a servant of Krishna, Baladeva is worshipped as the medium or support. This is the worship of Sri Guru. Guru is not worshipped as the receiver of worship, but he is the medium through whom and by whom Sri Krishna receives worship. And Krishna, by this way, Krishna manifests himself to his worshippers. As Viceroy, Sri Baladeva is entitled to worship as receiver of worship. This is the rationale of the preceptorial succession and the justification of complete submission to the preceptor necessitated by the monotheistic position for spiritual enlightenment or knowledge of Krishna, without which no relationship with Krishna by way of service is possible for the differentiated souls. This implies that the preceptor who yields the delegated authority of Sri Baladeva or Sri Nityananda is both worshipper, or rather medium, and condition, as well as the object of worship. So we're worshipping the Guru, so he's the object. We're doing Guru Puja. He's the object. He's receiving our puja. But he's the object, and at the same time, he's the medium. If he was only the object of worship, then the worship would stop. Yes, I accept your worship. Yes. But because he's the medium, he says, I accept your worship on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. And when you're offering obeisance to me and are touching my feet, I'm thinking of Prabhupada, and they're touching your feet. They're touching Bhakti Sananda's feet. They're touching Krishna's feet. And their obeisance is going to you, not to me. It's not, I, if I hold it here, then I go down. Then I become God. Then I go down. Because that's cheap. That's Pundraka. I become God. I'm only the via medium. I'm a carrying. Like you give me the you give me the torch, and then I pick it. You run 10 kilometers and give me the torch, and I run 10 kilometers in the Olympic foot race. So any worship, like you give me anything, what do? I offer to Krishna. You give me bhoga, I prepare and offer to Krishna. You give me clothes, I offer to Krishna. And it says, Hari Bhakti Vilas, even you get medicine, even the devotee, so to speak, guru, he offers his Ayurvedic medicine to Krishna. Krishna's not sick. Everything is offered. So you offer obeisances, you offer puja. It goes to Krishna, goes to Guru. Parampara. It's like sometimes people, they cook for the Guru. But the has to be tulsi, and they bring it into Guru, and the Guru will say, where's the tulsi leaves? Why? Oh, but Guru, it's for you, Guru Puja. I'm cooking for you. These are your favorite cookies, this, that, the other thing, whatever. I heard what your favorite things are, I made. No, but I can't eat this bhoga. I cannot eat sin. I do not have the power. I cannot turn this bhoga into transcendence. This has to be connected with transcendence. I'm simply a servant. Well, go bring tulsi. Put tulsi in everything. And then you put tulsi in and bring it in. Guru does manasik puja to his ishtadev. And then he takes the mahaprasad. And then the disciples take the mahamaha. Bhakti uchishta. This is a system. So the guru is by no means belongs to the category of differentiated individual souls like ourselves, who are infinitesimally small particles of Sri Baladeva and servants of Krishna by the grace of Baladeva. The preceptor is worshipped because his nature is really divine. That's why they say that. Like when someone becomes a king, he's no longer your buddy from school. He's the king. He used to joke around with him, but now you joke, he may kill you. Because he has to set the standard among the people. You can't show this disrespect. This king's a jerk. I went to school with him. No. Then you'll be killed. So when so-called ordinary jiva, conditioned soul, differentiated fractional part of the Lord, which we say conditioned soul, when he becomes knighted, now he's Lord, Brockwell, or he becomes, now he's Guru, now he's divinity, now he's divine. It's called a Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. He's simultaneously divinity, he's simultaneously Bhagavat Tattva, and he's simultaneously Jiva Tattva. Very interesting. But everyone else, he knows he's Jiva Tattva. But everyone else has to see him and regard him as Bhagavat Tattva.
Yeah.
There's a Savior Bhagavan and
Sevak.
Sevak Bhagavan and Savior Bhagavan. The Savior Bhagavan is Krishna, who receives the service. And the Sevaka, Sevaka, Sevakarma, Sevaka, Sevakaro. One who's doing Seva, he's a Sevaka, or Sadak. Sadak, or Sevaka. So the Sadak Bhagavan is the devotee. And the topmost devotee is Gurudev. The preceptor is worshipped because his nature is really divine, but with a difference in the method of worship to indicate the apparently subordinate nature of his authority. Right? Don't worship the guru with Krishna Prasad, Prasadi Mala. This need not be confounded with refined forms of polytheism that sanction the worship of individual souls or differentiated parts of Sri Baladeva, either as gods or heroes, which prevails in this world and is accepted without a protest by those very persons who are the most violent opponents of the worship of divine authority. That's so funny. Like people, what is being said here, if you can't follow, is that people in this world, they have so many sports heroes, so many film heroes, cinema stars, and they really worship them like anything, their picture, their photo, their clothing, their signature, and go crazy over them. But then if a group of people get together and have Guru Puja, or Vyasa Puja, and try to worship the Lord, hey, you're this fanatic, what is it? Why is he sitting on a big seat? Why do you give him a big garland? So many garlands, you can't even see his face, he has 1,000 garlands. And a big donation, he gave Mercedes-Benz car donation, this, that, other thing. What is this? This is idol worship. You guys are demoniac. This is not, this is atheistic, irreligious. But the same thing, these people donate Mercedes-Benz to the movie stars, to the sports heroes. They give them cars, state, money, anything. Well, the Prime Minister proclaims his birthday to be a national holiday. Sachin, cricket player hits a few wickets and he comes back to India and the Prime Minister says, okay, today's a national holiday, no work today. And then you say, why? Well, because we won the cricket match. Because some guy hit a few wickets, or whatever they call them. So, talk about honor. The whole country stops for some cricket player drinks whiskey and eats meat. And that's not Maha worship. 1 billion people worship some guy like this. If a handful of people get together to have Vyasa Puja and Guru Puja, then it's front page newspaper. Cult leader accepts worship from zombie followers. That's the headline. But when 1 billion people of India worship, take a whole national holiday to worship some cricket player who's a meathead and a boozer and a womanizer, then it's okay, it's quite alright. See the folly of it all. Ignorance is bliss, where it's folly to be wise. So these are some interesting thoughts. Srila Vedavyas ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya ki.